like a sunrise warming us up. Night drives cruising on the highlights, spending all of our time kicking with you, honey, with you. Ooh, honey, with you. Oh, ooh. Hey everybody, welcome to Faith and Freedom. I'm Chimene Nugent, and I want to welcome a new sponsor here for Faith and Freedom. It's Sentry H2O. It's an easy-to-install water filtration system that removes lead, fluoride, cyanide. Why is cyanide in there? Pesticides, arsenic, vinyl chloride, PFAS, VOCs, volatile organic compounds, and more. You know, water is obviously essential for life. And these days, who knows what's in our municipal water system? I hate to think like that, but I've been drinking this water and I love it. So check out sentryh2o.com and use the promo code HEALTHY10 for a discount. Eric Metaxas is the author of 5 New York Times bestsellers and hosts the daily nationally syndicated Eric Metaxas Show, available on 300 radio outlets. He's the author of books like Is Atheism Dead?, Bonhoeffer, Amazing Grace, and more. His latest book, A Letter to the American Church. He's also written more than 30 children's books, and his books have been translated into more than 25 languages. Joining us now, Eric Metaxas. Welcome, Eric.
It's a privilege to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm so glad that you're here. And you're probably wondering why a girl like me invited a guy like you to be on my show. I have a story to tell you. About 10 years ago, I did something really unfortunate. I had been getting death threats, and I had a concealed carry permit, and I carried my handgun with me everywhere. But one time, I forgot to take it out of my bag before getting on an airplane. And as you can imagine, I was arrested. Although TSA confiscated more than 6,200 firearms in 2022, and that number continues to increase, my mugshot was plastered everywhere, all over the world. And if you can imagine, it was a horrible time for me. But a few weeks later, Glenn Beck sent me a card with his personal wax stamp on it. I actually have it framed right behind me. And the letter said, Chimene, Martin Luther King, Gandhi, D. Bonhoeffer, Rosa Parks, all arrested, all on the right side of history. Stay strong. That changed my life. It gave me hope. But I'll admit, I didn't know who D. Bonhoeffer was. And that's how I found you, Eric Metaxas, author of Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, Spy. Tell us, Eric, who is Dietrich Bonhoeffer and why did you want to write about him?
Yeah, well, boy, we could talk for a while. I just want to say, first of all, how thrilled I am, because I'll tell you, it was Glenn Beck in 2010 when this book came out, this 600-page biography of a German theologian. Sounds boring. It is not boring. This is one of the most fascinating stories in the history of the world. An amazing man. He was a pastor who got involved in the plot to kill Adolf Hitler. But it was Glenn Beck in 2010 when the book came out. He had me on his unbelievably popular show at that time and gave me 30 minutes to talk about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And that book reached more people as a result of Glenn Beck, whom I love, than it ever would have. By now it's sold over 1 million copies. Next year it will be a major feature film. But the reason I wrote about Bonhoeffer, it's pretty simple. I became a Christian seriously in 1988, and somebody gave me a copy of Bonhoeffer's famous book, The Cost of Discipleship. They said, have you ever heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer? You're German. Your mother's from Germany. My dad's from Greece. My mom's from Germany. They met in an English class in New York City. And my German background, of course, my mother lived through the war. My grandfather was killed in the war. So this friend of mine gives me a copy of Bonhoeffer's book and says, do you know the story of Bonhoeffer? I said, never heard of him. And he says, well, this is a guy who, because of his Christian faith, spoke against the Nazis, spoke up for the Jews, did the right thing. He was arrested. He was ultimately killed by the Nazis. But it's just one of the most heroic stories I ever heard, because especially speaking as a German, you feel nothing but guilt for what happened, to realize there were Germans like Bonhoeffer who said, no, we are going to stand against this evil. And so it led me to write the biography of Bonhoeffer, never dreaming that it would sell so well. It would be translated, that one book, into 20 languages. But it strikes a nerve. And when I was writing it in, you know, before 2010, I thought, I can kind of smell this coming in America, that there are people who don't want to pay attention, and they just are kind of letting the evil grow while they do nothing. And Bonhoeffer was basically saying, you need to wake up now, right now. Your freedoms are being taken away, dramatically similar to what has been happening in America over the last number of years. So my most recent book, Bonhoeffer's the longest book, the shortest book I ever wrote, is my new book. It's called Letter to the American Church. And in Letter to the American Church, I make the parallel. I say exactly what happened then, exactly, it is shocking, is what is happening now in America. And being a Christian, I lay the blame at the foot of the church. I say, listen, if you call yourself any kind of Christian, you need to know that the Christians in Germany who consider themselves good Christians, they got the theology wrong. They thought, oh, we don't need to do anything. We just need to believe. We just need to have faith. The fact of the matter is their silence enabled evil to rise and rise until Germany was destroyed and millions were killed. And the case that I'm making, and unfortunately, Shemaine, it's real. This is not just my opinion. The silence of the American church and the silence of many Americans, particularly the silence of some Christian leaders and many churches, is allowing evil to rise. Evil is evil. Back then it was, you know, nationalism. Today it's this Marxist globalist cabal. But evil is evil. And if the church does not speak out loudly and boldly, the exact same thing that happened in Bonhoeffer's day will happen in our day. And it's already happening. I don't think there's any doubt about it. People see the parallels. Anybody who reads the Bonhoeffer book thinks, this is weird. This is happening right now. And it is.
Yeah. And a lot of people could say, well, that'll never happen again. We're going to stand up. We will never let that happen. Well, How many people gladly wore the masks? How many people got vaccinated because they were told to? And how many people, you're right, I think that's why I got the book, and it is an amazing read, but it's very well done. It's very well written. I tend to fall asleep with textbooks, but you're an incredible writer, and I'm so glad that I have this opportunity to talk to you. So what can we do to course correct?
Well, what I say, first of all, anybody who claims to be a Christian, I want to talk to them first and say to them, hey, if you're going to a church that is not talking about all the evil that is going on, open borders, of pushing transgender lunacy on children, all of this nuttiness, the death of America because socialist Marxists, pro-China, corrupt people have taken over our government, have stolen an election, would steal any election. If your church is not speaking against this, get out of that church, find a church where they take evil seriously and where they are not part of the problem. The churches that are doing nothing, you've got to get out of them. You've got to stop giving them your money. Give your money to people who are in the fight, who care about liberty, and who don't have this ridiculous idea that, like, I don't have to care about America. I just care about the kingdom of God. If you care about the kingdom of God, if you follow God, you will care about America, because America has been a voice for the voiceless around the world. I mean, Christians are supposed to be a voice for the voiceless, but America has held up the torch of liberty for people all around the world. We have been a force for good all around the world. If you don't care about America and you're allowing anti-American globalist Marxist forces destroy America, through the Biden administration, through the Obama administration, which is still really running the country. If you're saying nothing about this, if you're not speaking against the corruption, the unbelievable corruption in the FBI, in the Department of Justice, if you don't care about this, if you're not doing something about these things, and again, we can't do everything, but if you're going to a church that's not addressing these evils, get out of that church, find a church where they're addressing these things, where they're part of the fight. If we're not in the fight, we lose. The revolution in this country could not have been fought unless pastors were speaking from the pulpit. We have no king but Jesus. We want liberty. We don't want tyranny. That was from the pulpits. We would not have won the Civil War if it hadn't been people from pulpits getting involved, saying slavery is evil. The civil rights movement came out of the churches. So this idea that we shouldn't mix faith and politics is not a biblical idea. It's preposterous. If you care about truth, you've got to care about these things. You've got to speak up. So people need to get activated and understand that if you're any kind of person of faith, that should motivate you more than anything to risk what you have and do the right thing.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because I agree with you. It should happen in the church, but I have rarely gone to a church where pastors are bold and brave. Most of them don't want to lose their 501c3 status.
There you go.
That's what it's all about. I've recently parted ways with a lot of the big churches, and I go to a very, very small church, and they're not afraid. The pastor's not afraid to talk about spiritual warfare. I mean, Correct. This is a concept that is new if you go to a big box church.
Well, that's the point. No, that's exactly right, is that a lot of these big churches, evangelical churches, mega churches, whatever, they're playing it safe. They're more worried about losing their tax-exempt status than about speaking the truth of God. And do you think God's not going to judge you for that, Mr. Pastor or Christian leader? I just have to say that when you're in the middle of a war, you want to know who is willing to fight. If you're not in a church where they get this, now I say to people, you can send my a book to the pastor or give it to the pastor, letter to the American church, and say, would you consider this? Because there are a lot of good people that are just not getting it. They need a little push. They need some inspiration and encouragement. But if they refuse to get it, if they refuse to do the right thing, you need to get out of that church. There are plenty of churches. You can even, listen to sermons online. My friend Jack Hibbs is one of the leaders. Rob McCoy. There are churches all over America where I get invited to speak. They're being heroic. They stood up against the COVID mandates. They stood up against a lot of things. They're willing to speak the truth. People are attracted to that kind of faith. And as I say, I wrote this book, Letter to the American, try to reach people who can be reached. But if you're going to a church where they just want to go along to get along, get out of that church as quick as you can.
You know, we started out this conversation by saying, oh, we've only got that much time. It's time. We got about 30 seconds, Eric. What else is going on with you? What would you like to talk about in 30 seconds?
Well, I mean, I talk about a lot of stuff. I have a radio program every day. I tell people, please go to my website. It's ericmetaxas.com. If you go to ericmetaxas.com, you can find everything, because I'm talking about this stuff. I care about this nation, and I care about, what most people are out there caring about. And I try to use my voice for God's purposes at a time when patriots need to stand up. So I just would tell people, check out ericmetaxas.com. And thank you, Shemaine, for having me on the program. Just a joy.
Oh, thank you so much for joining me, Eric. God bless. A former Marine, Daniel Penny, is being prosecuted for restraining a man on the subway who was verbally threatening other passengers and throwing trash at them. Well, Penny used a chokehold restraint on the passenger, Jordan Neely, who had been arrested 42 times in the last 10 years. And then most recently, he was arrested for punching a 67-year-old woman in the face for no reason at all. Ultimately, Neely was pronounced dead at the hospital. The death has been ruled a homicide, although that doesn't confirm the intention. Many in the subway thanked Penny for protecting them and for standing up. and they appreciated what he was doing. And Penny even stuck around to answer questions by the police officers after the incident, and he was let go. But now, after multiple protests in New York City, the Manhattan District Attorney is looking for manslaughter charges. Joining me live to discuss, the founder of All Things Possible Ministries and the world's fastest gun disarmer, Victor Marks. Victor, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Shemaine. Good to be with you.
Now, you've told me before that you've had a similar situation. What's your reaction to this story?
Well, I think it's politically in charge, which is unfortunate. And I think we always have to start with the basis of it's a horrible outcome for, this young man who was mentally challenged and struggled. And but I said this on another network recently, is that, the system failed him in helping him, but the core root of all this problem was what I believe is not systemic racism, but systemic fatherlessness, in the home. And as a 14-year-old, I don't know if people realize he had to go through the ordeal of his mother being murdered by her boyfriend, and then dismembered and put in a suitcase. So you can see the trajectory that really was the basis for him losing touch with reality, or even being traumatized to the point of, I think, oftentimes demonic forces can really lay hold and trouble people like that. So, but regards to the situation, he was definitely in an active, aggressive state. People were fearful, and I think the Marine, Daniel Penny, did the right thing by really taking action to help protect others and himself. And the technique that they actually use is a vascular neck restraint. It's not a choke. Choke is actually cutting off the air, where a restraint is a vascular one that slows the blood flow. And he only had to use that for 2 or 3 minutes, according to witnesses. And it was probably off and on. His technique was actually pretty spot on because the elbow was underneath the chin. If you watch him, he's chewing his gum. He's real relaxed. He's not intentionally trying to hurt him. Nobody's pounding on him. And there were two other gentlemen assisting. So it's unfortunate, the outcome, but I've been there. I've actually been in that particular situation, having to restrain or put somebody out with a restraint hold. So yeah, it's a sad outcome, but in no way do I think Daniel Penny, this heroic Marine, should be held accountable based on politically fueled charges.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I don't think we have any word on whether or not he had drugs in his system, which could really help to have his passing quicker. And but I also want to talk about your story of redemption. You've had some things in your background that you've had to get over. How did you do that? And how did you become so interested in self-defense?
Well, thanks for asking that. And yes, I hold the world record in this speed takeaway. And there's hundreds of millions of views on the internet. Denzel Washington has used it in some of his movies. But it boils down to this: why? Why did I learn that? Why did it become so fast? It's because I had a stepfather who was abusive, and at one point he put a pistol to my head, and he would tap me on the side of my head, and he would tell me, "If you ever tell anybody what I've done to you, I'll shoot you and tell the police you killed yourself." And Shabina, I'll tell you, I came from an abused background, probably similar to Neely, as far as the instability and horrible things happen. What helped put me on track after drugs and just a sense of loneliness and the craziness that comes with that is I joined the United States Marine Corps. That helped give me discipline. But at the end of a few years of that, it was me coming to faith in Jesus Christ that gave me the best chance for hope and then a road to recovery. And, God makes us to heal. And I'm not, when you go through a trauma that's severe, for me, it was 123 visits to a trauma specialist that helped kind of put my mind back together. But I sit here before you and the audience today, married 35 years this year, 5 children, and 5 granddaughters. So God is able, and I would just tell people, don't give up. If you've come through hard times, or if you're in hard times right now, just don't give up. Then go to our website, Victor Marks, with an X, victormarks.com. We actually have resources that we offer from films or docuseries or books that can help them, and we provide these free.
So it's not a one and done. You go get counseling, you go get help. It takes a long time. And your ministry, you also have a ministry. Tell us about that and how you're involved in rescuing human trafficking victims.
Yeah, you know, I think we got best known. We've been doing this 20 years, but we were in youth prisons, and then we moved to doing high-risk work overseas. I think we got best known for recovering or rescuing kids from ISIS and then helping with trauma relief. And we've been doing counter-sex trafficking for quite some time. And actually, at our 20-year anniversary, we're moving out of that space and moving more directly toward what we would call counter-pedophile work, which is to protect children from the abuse of perverts and those who would harm the most innocent on the face of the earth. We have safe houses in Iraq, Southeast Asia, and then we partner with another organization called Skull Games, and they do our counter-sex trafficking work. And we actually help start them. So, yeah, we're busy all the time between traveling, encouraging, praying for people, doing media, and giving out trauma toys, healing toys, both in the U.S. and around the globe. We just feel like God has called us to set captives free physically, emotionally, and most important, spiritually.
Yeah, because it's not enough where you rescue the victim. How do they move on with their life? I mean, they need support. They need other people in their lives to continue that journey, that process. How do you go about, do you ever teach them self-defense? Do you ever work with them after they've been rescued so that it doesn't happen again?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say for those watching, if you've ever suffered abuse or compromise, you know how hard that is to get over. So people who've been through severe abuse or being trafficked, you do have to do a restoration process. And I think it's for a lifetime. What we do that's been really fun at our training center is we bring people in who are trafficked or abused or suffered trauma. And then we do train them. We teach them jujitsu, blade work, firearm fundamentals. We teach them teamwork. And the most important thing we do is pray for them to break any what we would call spiritual stronghold against them, which most people get in relation to trauma. So it's a unique approach to therapy, and it's a natural and fun process, and people really do benefit from it.
Absolutely. And I love following you on social media, and you talk about your wife all the time, which I love. I love that you guys work together. Tell me about what it's like working with your wife.
Well, my bride is you know, I'm still gaga over her. And without her, there's no way I'd be doing what I'm doing. I remember when I went to Iraq the first time, she said, I'm supposed to go with you, because we were going to give trauma relief for young women who had been held captive. And I said, honey, we're going where ISIS could be. It's super dangerous. I don't think this is a good thing. And she said, well, what's the worst that can happen? We die? And I'm like, yeah, we die. That's what happens over there. And then her simple response shows her faith. She says, well, then don't we win, honey? So she's been by my side in everything that we do. And she really is an inspiration to the thousands of women through her books or her own Instagram page. And just when we speak together, because marriage is hard, being single is tough. And I think women these days enjoy seeing that a woman could, like yourself, embrace femininity, be a life giver, but be tough as nails and a true princess warrior. And my wife is that, just like you are.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the compliment, but you're right. We need more Esthers in this world who will stand up, be bold, and be brave. Victor, what's next for you? How can people find you?
Well, go to victormarks.com, or like you said, anywhere on social media we're listed. And we appreciate the prayers. We got a lot of stuff going on right now, and I'm working on a book that should be out before too long called The Dangerous Gentleman. Because just like women need to be squared away, we need men to embrace masculinity, reject passivity, accept responsibility, and be willing to stand for what our nation needs and be willing to fight for what's right. So God gets glorified, our families stay together, and we have a solid country.
I love that. Families need to stay together. And like you started off saying, is that we need to really help men stay men and help support them in their role in the family. I think so Yes. many people in the media these days are, you know, the toxic masculinity. Sorry, but I want my husband to protect me, you know?
Absolutely. We want the you know, the Daniel Pennies to be able to grab a dude and
Yes.
hold him and resist him from hurting people. Again, his death is unfortunate, but we want men to be able to stand in the gap, not just video it.
That's right. Victor, thank you so much for joining me. God bless.
Of course. God bless you too.
You know, studies show that people who eat their veggies and their fruits and vegetables live longer, but I don't know about you. I don't always do that. I have a new sponsor here on Faith and Freedom I want to tell you about. It's Brick House Nutrition, and it's called Field of Greens. If you don't eat your fruits and vegetables all the time, even if you do, try this Field of Greens. It will help give you more energy and help you live longer. A lot of times, you know, we don't have, even if we think that we're eating salads all day or eating the right food, we know what's going on with our nutrition these days with the produce we get from the grocery stores. So check out Field of Greens. You just put a scoop in a water bottle, shake it up, and drink it all day. Okay, coming up right now is a friend of mine, David Rodriguez. David Nino Rodriguez was a heavyweight boxing champ with an undefeated record of 36-0 until someone attempted to kill him, leaving him with a multitude of physical and emotional and spiritual challenges. David is here now to share his story. David, thanks so much for joining me.
Good to see you again. Good to see you again,
Good
Shemaine.
To see yeah, you yeah. too. So share, start wherever you want. Share your story, a little bit about your story.
I'll be brief. I wrote a book about it. It's called When the Lights Go Out, but it's on Amazon. Basically, no, I was a 36-0 heavyweight contender, top five in the world, you know, ranked along all the big belts, was one of the biggest proteges at one time, and our prospects. And yeah, I was walking. I had a pretty tumultuous year in 2011. I had a, you know, drug and alcohol problem at the same time. I was boxing. I was living in a very, I was juggling many, many extremes, womanizing, partying, drinking. You know, I had a drug overdose and I almost passed away on that. They brought me back with the defibrillator. And then that same year I was walking out of a bar and they slit my throat, which you can see there, 369 stitches, you know, jumped back in the ring a little more premature, if you ask me. I wasn't emotionally stable. I was kind of just a mess. I got knocked out. I had the fight of the year on NBC Wild World of Sports. And then went through a very dark time in my life when I retired from boxing due to a back injury and had back surgery, two back-to-back back surgeries, just went into a complete darkness and rebounded. I quit drinking. I got sober. I'm 3.5 years sober now and living a completely different life and with a new purpose. And my podcasting business has taken off, and I'm very fortunate. I'm very, 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 very grateful and very fortunate.
Obviously, God needs you for this time, for such a time as this, right?
I don't know if he needs me.
Yes. I mean, you're waking people up. You're waking people up, and you too have been outspoken on a number of issues, and obviously it's led you to being canceled in some situations, but you have Nino's Corner, which I am a member of. So tell us about that.
Nino's Corner.tv is my safe space, if you want to call it that. It's where I go to bring all my fringe interviews, that the war on the deep state. I get people of high caliber, all kinds of different personalities, and we talk about the underbelly of the war right now happening within our government, in the deep state, the real dark and murky areas that people don't want to go that I talk about. And we are, you know, there is a war waging right now within America, and I'm trying to get to the bottom of it. I'm trying to find out as much information as I can so we can figure this out and navigate through this matrix together.
Yeah. You were just on the phone. You told me with our friend Juan, anything you can share with us that's going on right now?
Well, from what I understand, from what Juan tells me, I also talked to the ghost. I also talked to Scott Bennett and many others. Cash Patel is coming on my show soon. I talked to a lot of people. And from what I understand, is that, you know, what's happening behind the scenes is there was no deal made between Biden and McCarthy. They were supposed to have some kind of meeting. This is what's being told to me from Juan. I don't know if people if people seen this, but on the Capitol, they were flying the flag upside down.
Yes.
At the Senate. Yeah. So that's a big sign that things are not going too well in Washington, D.C. Basically, our nation is under distress. We have been taken over by, you know, an administration that is a Trojan horse, which I believe for the CCP and the globalist regime. They're taking down America, like in real time right now, taking down America. And I bring people on my show to talk about what's happening in real time. So Juan was just telling me that, you know, as Title 42 was ending, they were trying to strike a deal with Biden. I guess it didn't happen because Title 42 is a mess right now. It's ended. The immigrants are coming over right now in tens and thousands by the bus, being flown out of the El Paso airport by other airports on the border, flown out to cities near you. They have typhoid, tuberculosis, lice, all kinds of diseases. And they're being shipped off to you. They're being given citizenship.
Stop it.
Yeah. And this is all to steal the 2024 election, in my belief, my opinion. So, and I have to say it like that, Shemaine, because, you know, I can't state anything as fact, you know, get in trouble, but that's what's happening. And it's a complete invasion of our country.
The evil that would possibly fathom that this is a good idea, that anybody says, yeah, let's do that. Let's have all these people come across the border. Meanwhile, we get strip searched basically at the airport. They check our bags and they're not checking what these people are coming over with.
They don't even need an ID.
No, and all the videos that I've seen, they look like fighting age men. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I see them. I see them catapult over the wall. Like, you think the wall is tall enough? No, they need to make that wall at least 60 feet high, because from what I'm seeing, they're climbing up the wall with screwdrivers, jumping over it and doing like a, I mean, they could do a backflip and it wouldn't surprise me. These guys are jumping over it like acrobats. I mean, these are men coming over here. You don't see women and children climbing a 30-foot wall. You see men doing that by the droves.
What's the end game? I know you talk about for purposes of the election, but what if we don't get to that point?
I don't see us getting there. And I see if we do get there, if it's going at the rate it's going, it'll be stolen. Because they're giving these immigrants citizenship, they're going to vote, and that's going to take the place of the ballot harvesting. They'll just have them legalized citizens voting Democrat. And then, of course, we already know what's going on with the Dominion. I mean, so I'm not really optimistic if we get to 24 and nothing has happened. I'm not optimistic about it at all. I'm not going to lie to my audience. So, but I will say that I do bring on personalities that state otherwise. My audience, I mean, I bring on guests to my audience that state otherwise, but my audience draws their own conclusion on NinosCorner.tv. You listen to my guests. You listen to their statements. You listen to their points of view. You listen to their perspectives. You draw your own conclusion. I'm just doing my job. And my job was a heavyweight boxer. Now it's a podcaster, I guess, journalist.
Yeah, you're a citizen journalist. And we're all in the fight of our lives. I want to talk about a different fight and switch gears to A Sound of Freedom. Can you tell us about that movie? I've seen it, and it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's one of the most impactful, powerful movies out there. I think there's two big movies people need to watch this year. Obviously, Sound of Freedom is number one. It's going to shine a light. It's going to shine a big light on the human trafficking, child trafficking, pedophilia problem that we have, not only in this country, but in the world. But also the other movie is Nefarious. The Nefarious movie was amazing. So those two movies are two huge blows to the deep state. And I believe Sound of Freedom is going to change human consciousness forever, and it's no better time to come out than now. They can go to, I think you can go to Angel Studios and get tickets. You can buy tickets for friends and family. They're trying to get to 2 million. The movie will be out July 4th. So July 4th, the movie is out, Sound of Freedom. Go to a local theater near you. Or it's playing in select theaters. So, you know, probably just one or two in your area. So it's an important movie to see. I guarantee everyone's going to love it. It's very disturbing. I'm not going to – it's a very educational film on what's really going on in the world.
When I heard about it and your friend Jim Caviezel's in it, I heard it was about child trafficking. How do they make that possibly good? I mean, it's not good, but it's bringing awareness, like you said. It was very tastefully done.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, I gotcha.
Okay. So it's disturbing. The movie is disturbing. I could just see that I froze a little bit on the camera, but okay, yeah. Just hear me out. It's okay. It's a disturbing film. It's a very disturbing film, but it's a must see. You got to understand the real pandemic, which is trafficking. This is why the border is wide open. They're coming over like gangbusters. They're bringing over not only just drugs like fentanyl, but the human trafficking is a real deal, and it's happening all over the world, and America is the biggest number one customer.
It's unbelievable. When I went down the rabbit hole a couple years ago and discovered, I thought, how could this possibly be still existing? I'm so glad that you're talking about this and bringing this to light. I can't wait for this movie to be airing so that everybody can see it. David, I've got about 30 seconds. Anything else you want to add or where people can find you?
Yeah, you go to ninoscorner.tv, and everything else is pretty much on Telegram, on Getter, on Twitter. Twitter is Nino Boxer, but everything else is pretty much Nino's Corner. Nino's Corner on YouTube. My morning show is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9:30 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. I appreciate any kind of support, and get out and see The Sound of Freedom in theaters July 4th.
July 4th. Well, lucky you, you're still on Twitter. I'm banned, but there you go.
You're still banned even with Elon?
I'm still banned even with Elon.
Wow.
Still banned. Well, David, thanks so much for joining me. I'm sure I'll be talking to you soon.
You got it, Shemaine. God bless you.
God bless you. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Who's Steve Hemphill in Active Faith? Well, I'm Steve Hemphill. And although I started studying books and scriptures on spiritual warfare in the early 1980s, I began teaching and helping others in this area in 2011. We now call this ministry Active Faith. Well, I began to realize the vital importance that every Christian understands spiritual warfare today when I encountered a man at Burger King one day. I was alone reading my Bible when he interrupted my study. I sensed a strangeness about him as he criticized the Bible and made several false statements. So I asked him if Jesus was Lord. That set him off, and he started screaming no as he ran around the restaurant. He continued screaming as he ran out the door into his car and squealed his tires. I had encountered my first demon-harassed person ever, and this made me realize the importance of understanding what the Bible said about demons and how to deal with them. Obviously, the enemy is studying our playbook, so we need to know his. Soon after that, I had an encounter with a non-Christian man who was planning his own suicide, saying demons were on his property and in his dreams. I had no idea what to do, so I prayed. I was immediately reminded of an Old Testament Bible verse urging the Jews to put scriptures on their gates and doorposts. I suggested we put Bible verses on tent stakes and place them in the ground around his property. The demonic activity suddenly stopped. This changed his outlook and his attitude, and he became a baptized believer in Jesus that very next week. My only logical interpretation based on these stories and results was that God's Word is still powerful. He's still on the throne. Prayer still works. He's not the great I used to could. He calls himself the I Am because he does.
Joining us live now is spiritual warfare author and my friend, Steve Hemphill. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
I want to discuss spiritual warfare and the weapons that you have been talking about to use, but let's give me a minute description of what spiritual warfare is.
I would say it's the application of prayer and the proper spiritual warfare tool for your unique situation. And the idea is you have a lot more weapons than you thought you had, and you keep adding weapons along with your prayers until what you're praying for begins to happen. But spiritual warfare means you're using the spiritual realm and the connection you have to God as his servant to further his kingdom and his agenda and make a difference in the real world.
And give me some examples of what spiritual warfare can look like, because a lot of people don't understand that it's not just something that, you know, it could be a sickness, it could be depression, it could be other things. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a variety, can be almost anything. And sometimes we just interpret it as just normal earthly things. But, you know, Jesus never came across anyone and said, oh, that's a mental illness, we can't help that. Everything was a demon to him. And so I would say mental health conditions are demonic. Depression is one example of that. Addiction is another great example. Anger is a spiritual warfare issue. Being unable to control our anger or fear is a big one. Satan uses fear because fear and faith can't coexist. One displaces the other.
I love that. I mean, I don't love it, but I love that we're talking about this in the open. So describe some of the weapons or tools that we can use to battle these evil forces.
Okay, well, I'm still learning and discovering weapons from Scripture. I'm up to 70 so far. I thought there were two. Prayer is one and God's Word is another. But in Mark chapter 9, Jesus cast out a demon that the disciples had been unable to cast out. And they came privately, apparently they were embarrassed, and said, why couldn't we cast that one out? And the answer was, Jesus said, that kind takes prayer plus fasting. So Mark 9 teaches that prayer plus fasting is one of the stronger weapons we can use. And then there are lots of other things we can do. Prayer plus oil is taught in James 5. The woman with the issue of blood was prayer plus touch. Then we have testimonies or weapons. The blood of Jesus is a weapon. A spoken binding is a weapon. And taking captive our thoughts are weapons. The enemy is putting thoughts in our heads that ought not be there. And this is a war. We need to learn to take captive the thoughts that shouldn't be there and make them obedient to God and to the Scriptures.
And let's talk about the most amazing tool that we have are your stakes. Describe that.
Well, the stakes are a symbol of the Word of God being powerful. We put them in the ground on the four corners of a piece of property as a sort of prophetic or symbolic gesture that we're turning the deed of that property over to God, and He's the owner now. We're a steward of what He's given us, but we're not owners. We are adopted into the royal family. We're going to be royal heirs along with Jesus, and all that's exciting. But for now, we are trying to further His kingdom, and we look around and see that Satan has taken the land. We're marking it off and taking it back, one house at a time, one city at a time, one courthouse at a time, and one state at a time.
I love that. Now, I've actually recently staked my home around outside, and I know other people are doing it as well. What's the most unique staking activity that you've had? Tell us about the one in the trunk.
Well, we have had several people who have hidden stakes in unique places around their loved ones who have been walking away from God. And my stakes in the trunk story, which is on one of my podcasts, a Battle Plan podcast, is a true story about a family whose daughter had left the church and Christianity and gone into a lesbian lifestyle. They hid stakes in the trunk when they saw her at a family event, and she didn't know the stakes were in the trunk. And all of a sudden, her attitude changed. She started calling them regularly, and within a few months, she kind of walked away from that lifestyle and came back to her faith and wanted to be rebaptized as a symbol of a renewed commitment. When she found out those stakes were in her trunk, she started crying and saying, I wondered why my car was the only place I felt safe. So you can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't. And Steve, I know you're going on a little bit of a tour. Tell us about that and where people can find you.
Well, our website is active-faith.org. And if you go to calendar there, you can see other places where I'll be speaking. I'm headed out this week to Florida, to the Winter Haven, Florida, near Orlando. And this will be my first time to be at a Hispanic church. And they've translated my PowerPoint slides into Spanish. And the minister there is going to interpret for me. So I'll have to limit how many slides I talk about there because it takes longer when you're waiting for the interpreter. But I'll be there this coming weekend, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday and Wednesday. Then I'll fly from there to Virginia the next week. I'll be in Chesapeake, Virginia. I'll fly into Norfolk and be there the following Sunday and Monday doing a two-day seminar up there. It's all free. We talk about the weapons. We talk about things that can hinder your prayers. And we also, in our store online at active-faith.org, you can watch videos and podcasts free on our YouTube channel too.
And I can attest that everybody who is able should try to get to one of your spiritual warfare trainings in person. I went 4 days and it was amazing. I learned so much. And I brought a friend with me, and we are actually, we're really becoming your disciples and spreading the message about not only your stakes, but it gives people something to hold in their hands and physically do. And I think that's what people are looking for right now. They don't know how to fight the devil, and these stakes really help. So, Steve, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for joining me again and again. I know you and I are going to be working on some other projects real soon. But thank you, Steve. God bless you. And I know I'll be speaking to you again soon.
Hey, thank you for having me back. Always love doing work with you, even if it's a virtual staking. It's always fun.
That's right. That's right. We were pretty successful, weren't we? So watch watch us on Facebook. We'll be jumping on and doing Facebook Lives. Steve, have a great day. God bless. Hey guys, you never know when disaster is going to strike. So check out EMPShield.com. There could be a power outage, lightning strike, whatever. Use EMPShield.com and the promo code Shemaine. We have it protecting our cars and you should too. Thanks for watching Faith and Freedom. In a few weeks, my book, Killer House, is going to be available for pre-sale. Visit ShemaineNugent.rocks to be the first to get notified when it's available. Mark your calendar, share this show. I'll be here every week, and I hope you will too. As Esther 4:14 says, perhaps you were born for such a time as this.